Everybody say, time to go back to basics. One of the things that I admired about a couple of coaches, I'm thinking of three in particular. One was Vince Lombardi. He went to practice, and Vince Lombardi was the coach of the Green Bay Packers, at his time one of the best football teams in the country. So his players were professional football players. His first practice, he called them all in and stood in front of them and said, this is a football. That's what he said to them. This is what, and I guess they're looking at him like, duh. Steve Kerr, coach of Golden State Warriors, his team got upset with him because the previous year, They were near the top of the league in turnovers and throwing the ball away. So for the first 2 weeks of practice, he had them passing the basketball. That's all he did. This is how you pass the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball. John Wooden, probably the greatest college basketball coach in history. First 2 days of practice, he taught his players how to put on sneakers and socks, or socks and sneakers. And he said to him, if you don't put them on correctly, you'll get blisters. If you get blisters, you don't play. If you don't play, we lose games. If we lose games, I lose my job. So there are times that we have to go back to basics, and I mean the very basics, because if we don't, we allow things to get out of control. And the only way to bring things back into control is by going back to basics. I'm not computer savvy as most, but I know if you've added a lot of things to your computer and it's not working properly, you start taking them off. Is that not right, Dan? He had headphones on. I said, if you have a computer and you start adding different apps and things to the computer and your computer starts to malfunction, you start taking them off to bring the computer back to its basic operating system and then start again. So when I look at how things are going in this world, I realize that there's some basics that should be active in the lives of every believer. Every believer, there should be just some basic things that are always there. Always there. I like dinosaur movies. And so I watched the Jurassic Park series. The new one is okay. I like the old one. Then I like the old Star Trek. But in Jurassic World, and of course, in every Jurassic Park movie, dinosaurs got out of control. And these two men were arguing. Mr. Wu, the one who created the dinosaurs, and the one who owned the park were arguing. And the owner of the park said to him, he said, I didn't ask for a monster. And Wu said, monster is relative. It's a relative term. He said, to a canary, a cat is a monster. I started thinking about that, and what I came to realize is that there's too much going on. There are too many voices, there's too much noise, there are too many different opinions. We're trying to figure out who's right and what's right, and what's happened is people seem, well, I'll read it the way the Holy Ghost told me. People seem to think right is relative to who you are. Well, you know, in a sense it is. You will act based on what you believe is right. And what you believe is right is dependent on what you believe. So if things are going on that's wrong, we have to go to the source to find out, what are you believing? What are you believing? Because you're not going to change your values. You're not going to change your opinion of this is right, this is wrong, unless you change what you believe. So if we're going to talk about changing what we believe, the first thing we need to do is know who we are so that there's no confusion. You would think that there wouldn't be confusion in the body of Christ in this generation, in this season, but there seems to be more confusion than there ever been. Why? I don't know. I haven't talked to enough people. And if I did, I still wouldn't know because everybody would think that they're right. Everyone say, you will act based on who you believe you are. See, we're here during this time, this season, because God has given us the identity that we need so we can act accordingly. We have an opportunity for our actions to get this world turned right side up. But it has to be by our actions, not our words. And our actions will be based on who we believe we are. Look at Matthew 5. I'm not going to jam-pack a lot of different thoughts and principles and things. I'm going to take my time and go as long as the Holy Ghost wants me to go. Not today in time. I mean in terms of the series. You can exhale. Okay. In Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16 out of the Passion Translation, Jesus telling the people, your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance, for how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. So God's plan was for the children of God that are in the earth, of course, to see God wanted people to see the light of Christ working in the children of God. He wants to see the light working in the children of God. So the children of God, first of all, have to know they're the children of God because them being identified as such is an important piece. The world needs to see good works. They need to know who it is doing the good works. Although you're also members of the Redeeming of Christian Center. Of course they're going to act like that. Didn't you know that it was a place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested? Well, that's who we are as members. Anywhere we go, anyone we come into contact with should feel love. Would you mind sharing what happened when a person cuts you off? For some reason, people seem to have a hard time when they get cut off.
I was sharing with Pastor Carr the other day. I was going to the mall over here to Matter of Health. And I was at the light, and there was another car across. And when the light turned, that person insisted on going in front of me, went around me, literally cut me off. And I said, well, praise God, I've had a lot of practice. So praise God. Just continue to pray for the person and thank God for their safety. Well, as I'm driving, I went to the light by Middletown. The person was there. I made the left. The person made the left. They were in front of me. And they went straight. But I noticed, Holy Spirit had me notice, that they circled around. Long and short, they landed up in the same store where I was. But I didn't realize who it was. But the person came up to me and said, "Excuse me, I want to apologize to you for cutting you off way back then." And I just said, "Well, praise God, I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, I don't hold it against you." And I kept going. And the person was very apologetic. And my first thought was, this person is a Christian. That was my first thought, because the person was willing to apologize in that way. So I went through the store. As I'm going through the store, the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to find this person and pay for their groceries." So I'm in the store, and I'm keeping my eye, you know. And I said, "Okay, Lord." And then I lost the person. I said, "Lord, where did they go? Where did they go?" And the person was at the register. So I ran up. Wait. Long story short, so I paid for the groceries. And she looked, well, I didn't want to say she, but the person looked at me. She, "Are you sure you?" I said, "God told me to." I said, "I love you. You know, God loves you. And he told me to, and I'm glad to do it." So just receive the blessing. Well, the cashier was standing there like this, with this big grin on her face. And she was like, "Wow," you know, she was looking. So my point, I guess the point was just to bless people.
Let your light shine, because.
Let the light so shine. But, you know, look,
yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, it's become so a part of me that when it happened, I can honestly tell you, I harbored nothing. I just said, "Father, keep the person safe. Let them drive safely." But the fact that the Holy Spirit spoke to her and she was able to come back and say, "You know, I apologize," and said it with such a sincere heart. But how much God loves her, how much he loves her. And he said, "You just let her know that you love her too and pay for her groceries." Oh.
"Do good to them that despitefully use you. Choose to believe the best of everybody." So why would we think that person woke up in the morning and said, "I'm going to find me a believer and cut them off. I'll show them." I was in Starbucks. I went there sometimes when I'm running late. I get their little apple, cut up apples and peanut butter and hard-boiled egg tray. And there was this gentleman in there, and he kept trying to order something, but he didn't have enough money. And it's annoying because I'm on a time schedule, and I'm thinking, "Will you please just hurry up?" I'm smiling, I'm Pastor Greg, "Will you just hurry up?" And then finally, the one of the workers said something. I didn't like the way he said it. It kind of snapped me out of my self-pity. He said, "Look, you just don't have enough money." And I was like, and I said, "Yes, he does." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Get whatever you want. I'll pay for it." And the guy said, "Really?" I said, "Whatever you want, just get it, and I'll pay for it." And it came to $6 or $7. But whatever money he had, he said, "Well, why don't I just give you what you have?" I said, "No, you may be hungry later on. Do you keep that?" He looked at me, he said, "Thank you." I said, "Just remember, just like God took care of this, he'll take care of every other area of your life." And leave. And everybody in there, they do the same thing. They look. And they wonder. They would expect, they would say, "Well, you're in line. Will you hurry up? I'm late for work. I got to get going." No. They see your light shining. They see your good works. And we have to get back to that, to see their good works. Because as it was started to say before, God's children being identifiable is an important piece. Very important piece. Look at Malachi 3. Amplified classic. " Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. You better be mindful of what you're talking about when you get together in groups. The Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. Listen to the Bible in basic English. Then those in whom was the fear of the Lord had talked together, and the Lord gave ear, and it was recorded in a book to be kept in mind before him, for those who had the fear of the Lord and gave thought to his name. And they will be mine, says the Lord, in the day when I make them my special property. Think about that one. You're God's special property. And I will have mercy on them as a man has mercy on his son who is his servant. Then you will again see how the upright man is different than the sinner. The upright, that's a basic, folks. The upright man is different from the sinner. And the servant of God from him who is not. So God said people need to see the difference between serving him and not serving him. They need to see that there needs to be a very distinguishable difference between us and the world. That's why I can't get in support of a lot of these social issues. It's not that I don't believe things are unjust. I believe there's some unjust actions that have happened and will happen. But I believe that we're children of the Most High God and we're supposed to handle them differently. The Bible tells us, love your enemies. Do good to them who despitefully use you. That's what it said. Didn't say shout them out, shout them down. It said, love them. So as the children of God, knowing what's going on, knowing and hearing all the different voices, all the noise, all the opinions, redefining what's right and what's wrong, since we know that, we have to get back to basics. And basic is simply defined as something that is fundamental or an essential ingredient, an essential principle in its, or an essential procedure. Let me ask you something. What's the basic ingredient of a sweet potato pie? Don't you need dough? The dough's not the most essential part? Well, dough is essential if you're making a pie. But if you're going to make a sweet potato pie, then there has to be something in the pie that distinguishes it as a sweet potato pie. Yeah, I'm going to make you even more hungry. If it's a sweet potato pie, there must be sweet potatoes. If it's an apple pie, there must be apples. And here's a key principle. There must be enough sweet potatoes in the pie so you can taste them. There must be enough sweet. Does the scripture say, taste and see that the Lord is good? If there ain't no Lord in you, what are they going to taste? I remember my favorite ice cream is ice cream. My favorite ice cream flavor is peach. Yes. One, you know, ice cream chain came out with a peach flavor and they made it sound so good. So I wanted to get some. And so I went there, I went in, but I said, before I jump all in, let me sample this. And I asked for a sample and they gave me a sample. I'm gonna give you a little teeny. I said, no, I need a sample. So you got a bigger spoon. And I put that ice cream in my mouth. And I was like, and the guy looked at me and said, what happened? I said, it's horrible. That's what happened. And I forgot that there were people in the store that saw that. But I had to buy a juice to get the taste out of my mouth. How many people come into a church, encounter Christians, and have to get something to get the taste out of their mouth when the encounter's over? Because they didn't. Look right here. Matthew 5:13, Message Bible. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors on this earth. When the world encounters us, they want to taste and see that the Lord is good. But they don't get the God flavors, they're not going to come back. And they're not going to say, well, it was this group of people in this church. They're going to say, this Jesus stuff doesn't work. That I know it so because that was my thought. When I'm 16 years old, sitting in a church and the two congregations are fighting and throwing chairs and stuff during a church service, I stayed away from church. There's no God flavor there, that's for sure. But we're here to bring out the God flavors, and it has to be real, and it has to be authentic. So when people, and it has to be enough, we need to be filled enough so that people can taste and see that the Lord is good, so they can see our good works. And it said from a distance, so that means they don't need, let me get a microscope and see if I could find some good work in this believer. No. It needs to, well, what we do needs to be clearly seen. So I'm going to give you a couple of principles. I'm going to just give you principles. I'm going to share what I gave you the last time, and then I'm just going to give you one more today. I'm not going to overload because it's too important. But when you consider all that's going on, Romans 12:1-2 in the Message Bible says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, like Minister Phil says, he's just driving to the store. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. How many of you sleep and eat, go to work and walking around? You take all of that and place it before God as an offering. What you're doing is you're placing yourself before God and saying, I'm yours. Use me however you will because I give up the right to me being me. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you, and all you have to do to get that is to take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Basic. Basic. Well, what about all the unrest? The best thing you can do about all the unrest going on in the world is place your life before God as an offering. Well, Lord, you have to have all the nonsense going on in our government. Take your life, your ordinary life, place it before God as an offering. Because once you do that, then God will use you in the manner that he knows will be effective against what's going on. When we don't do that, we're operating in our own wisdom. We're operating in our own strength. And we fail miserably because we're not equipped to handle it. We're not equipped to handle it. So regardless of the circumstance, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, fixing all your attention on him. The verse ends by saying it will develop well-formed maturity in you. That means it will develop strong God flavors in you. So when people encounter you and encounter God, they won't choke. It'll be nice and velvety going down and feel this warmth in their spirit. And they'll want more. They'll want more. Now, in Malachi, we read where God said, I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels. How does one become a jewel? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Amplified Classic. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. It needs to be a basic. We have to understand we are new creatures in Christ. And whatever we used to do before we received Christ don't matter. Whatever it is, whatever you was, however you thought, does not matter because you are a new creature in Christ. There's a song I've been looking for. I haven't located it yet. It's called We Are a People Who Are Not. And I remember the chorus. We're not black or white. We're not red or green. Yeah, remember that song? We need to understand when all the social stuff is going on, it's not talking about us. It used to talk about us, but we became one of God's jewels. And he said, now that they shall be mine. So when we became one of God's jewels, we're no longer black, nor white, nor red, nor green, nor male, nor female, nor bond, nor free, nor slave, nor master. We're none of that. We're Christians. We're a totally new breed of human beings. And there shouldn't be anything about us that looks familiar or common to the world. We are different. Say, we're different. Verse 18, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. How are we going to do it? By word and deed. By what they hear us say and what they see us do. One of the things we need to be mindful of is that we don't waste our time thinking about us. Yes, it's very easy. I have the time accumulated. I can take off for 6 weeks. Just lay out, get all stretched out, relax, chill, eat ice cream, all that stuff. But that would be relying on me to take care of me. God said, you'll say what I tell you to say? Yes, sir. I'll keep you while you do it. I take him at his word. I take him at his word. Verse 19, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. I could probably ask you right now to write down 5 things that you're holding against somebody, and you probably have 10, myself included. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. The Message Bible says God took care of our relationship with him and then left it up to us to work things out one with another. He gave us the rules on how to do it. Love one another. Imitate me. I didn't take count of your sins. I canceled them. So now you guys go out there and do that with one another in front of the world. When I began today, I said people seem to think right is relative to who you are and that you will act based on who you believe you are. So who are we? Who are we? Romans 10. Verse 5, Moses writes to the New Living that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go down into up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth, and don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life. In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart, and that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Now, you can openly declare it verbally, and you can openly declare it by your actions. Which one am I supposed to do? Both. Both. This is the foundation of our identity. This is the basis of determining the difference between right and wrong. It does not matter how we used to be, used to think, used to act. I can say that with bold confidence because the word backs me up. 2 Corinthians 5:14-20 says, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all died with him so that if those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him. The one who died for us and now lives again. So then from now on, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearance. Refuses. People are going to say things to you, say, I refuse to believe that. I refuse to get involved with that. Don't you care? I care very much so, but the best thing I can do is to take my life, my ordinary life, my everyday walking around, going to work life, and place it before God as an offering. Refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances, for that's how we once viewed the Anointed One. But no longer do we see him with limited human insight. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. Have you become enfolded into Christ? You are an entirely new creation. Entirely. Everything about you should be sharp contrast to everything that you used to be about. Does that make any sense? Says verse 18, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions, and he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors for the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God. Go back to basics. And be reconciled to him. Who you were or what you were before declaring Christ as your Savior is a canceled culture. There's no fine you have to pay. There's no jail time. Your slate has been wiped clean. Regardless of your past, by believing in your heart that you made right with God, that you are made right with God, and by openly declaring your faith, you are saved, transformed out of darkness and into the marvelous light. And I'm out of time, but I just want to read the scriptural reference of what I just said. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Passion Translation. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all. Our sins, our stained souls, he deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then, after canceling all of the offenses, took the one who had judged us and made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a possession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. We should not be swayed by anything that's going on in the world because we have been nailed to the cross. Then, as we said, we were, they're not the boss of me. I've been delivered. So where does this leave you? 2 Corinthians 5:21, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Believe that and base your definition of what's right and what's wrong on that. I have more, but you have to come back next time. I gave you enough for today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stand on your feet and scream. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We remember our basics. We are born again. We are new creatures in Christ. We are your jewels, and you made us yours. And we're going to bring out the God flavors in this world. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Is there anyone here who's never received Christ as their Savior? You heard me say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. And I believe it. And I believe that's right. Because it's based on the Word. So I'm going to ask, does anyone here, I need you to just raise your hand where you are. Or if there's anyone here, you've born again, but you've allowed your life to get wrapped up in the world. And you became undone, unraveled, as you heard what the Lord was speaking to you today. And you want to just get back right with God. You raise your hand also. Or if you're born again, you're in great sin. We have a hand.